From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns commences a message entitled, What It Means to Hallow the Lord's Name, part of this series of studies on the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is called The Reason for Singing. The text is Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. What a word is this! Jehovah God in the center of His people, in all the majesty of His power. This presence alone suffices to inspire us with peace and hope. Treasures of boundless might are stored in our Jehovah, and He dwells in His church. Therefore may His people shout for joy. We not only have His presence, but He is engaged upon His choice work of salvation. He will save. He is always saving. He takes His name of Jesus from it. Let us not fear any danger, for He is mighty to save. Nor is this all. He abides evermore the same. He loves. He finds rest in loving. He will not cease to love. His love gives Him joy. He even finds a theme for song in His beloved. This is exceedingly wonderful. When God wrought creation, He did not sing, but simply said, It is very good. But when He came to redemption, then the sacred Trinity felt a joy to be expressed in song. Think of it and be astonished. Jehovah Jesus sings a marriage song over His chosen bride. She is to Him His love, His joy, His rest, His song. O Lord Jesus, by Thine immeasurable love to us, teach us to love Thee, to rejoice in Thee, and to sing unto Thee our life psalm.
Lord, bless His holy name, Alleluia.
the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship. This small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Continuing these studies in prayer, Dr. Cairns is examining what we know as the Lord's Prayer to show how God would have His people come to Him in prayer. The emphasis continues to be on the very first petition, Hallowed be Thy name. Here we have the chief petition in prayer, for above all things it must be our sincere desire to see God's name hallowed or sanctified. As we'll see, there's a great deal involved in asking God to sanctify His name, for His name represents who He is and how He is to be worshipped. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to introduce a message called, What It Means to Hallow the Lord's Name.
Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. This morning we return to the words of the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 9. The Lord Jesus said, After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're dealing with this first petition. As I pointed out last week, it's not at all clear whether there are six petitions or seven. Whether you take lead us not into temptation as a separate petition from deliver us from evil, or whether you take them together. Commentators argue about things like that. At the moment, we're not going to bother too much on that score. But there are six or seven petitions here. They cover not only a wide range of subjects, they cover indeed all the area that Christians need to cover when we come to pray. And therefore, the first petition is very, very important. God gives this top priority. This is the one thing that stands out above everything else. As I said last week, in many ways, that includes everything else, or at least governs it, modifies everything else. And it is as this petition is understood and as it is answered by the Lord, that we can then pray all the other petitions and look for a mighty answer from the Savior. Now, last week we commenced looking at this first and greatest concern that a Christian has in prayer. We simply looked at the meaning of the terms, and then took some time to emphasize that if you have a desire that the Lord's name be hallowed, there are two things you must do. First, you must make it a matter of serious prayer. And second, when you do that, you must be willing and ready to be the instrument or the vehicle through which the Lord will hallow his name. Now then, I want us to come to what is really the heart of the text. And I want us to think this morning of what then is involved in this entire prayer and expression of hallowing the Lord's name. This is a petition that has very, very far-reaching implications. And yet, strangely, perhaps of all the petitions in the Lord's Prayer, this is the one that people find it most difficult to give a precise meaning to. Christians pray this. They say the words. But the words are sort of floating up there in the ether, and they hardly understand exactly what it is they're praying when they pray, Hallowed be thy name. And yet it has a very clear meaning or series of meanings in Scripture. When you turn to the Word of God, you'll find that hallowing or sanctifying the Lord is an expression that occurs fairly frequently. And that will give us the meaning the Savior had in mind when he told us to pray, "Hallowed or sanctified be thy name." Let me remark first that when we pray this prayer, what we are praying to the Lord is, "Cause thy name to be known and to be confessed." If you go back to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36 and verse 23, the Lord says, "I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." Now, there is another thought in that sanctifying in you that we'll take up in due time. But at the moment, what I want you to do is get the conjunction of ideas here. I will sanctify my name. How does the Lord explain that? The heathen shall know that I am the Lord. In Ezekiel 38:23, he makes the same thing very plain. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Again, what does God mean by saying, "I will sanctify my name"? He's saying, "I will do something to cause the heathen to know me for what I am. I will cause the heathen to confess my name." And so when we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, "Hallowed be thy name," what we're praying is, "Lord, let the truth of our God in all that is included in that word name," as we saw last week, "in the full revelation of your person and of your glorious purpose of grace in Jesus Christ, let this be known abroad upon the earth and received among the nations." This is a prayer then that includes in it the idea, "Lord, destroy false religion. Let thy name be known. Take away the confusion. Take away the darkness. Take away the paganism." And as we would need to pray here in America today, take away the neo-paganism that has brought this nation, whether in politics, and you'll find it there, in business, you'll find it there, in education, you'll find it there, in entertainment, you'll find it there, that has taken this nation away from the solid foundation of revealed truth about the triune God and His grace in Jesus Christ, and has brought it back to Indian worship, to Eastern mysticism, to earth worship, and to the pantheistic follies that are damning America today in all its parts. We need to pray, "Lord, take away this confusion. Destroy false religion. Defeat satanic darkness. And declare thine own being. Make clear thine own nature. Show forth thine own word and thine own work in all its mighty fullness. Do this across the world, bringing people to the understanding of the gospel. Do it in this nation. Do it in this community. Indeed, do it in my own heart. Declare your name there, that I may know thee." Not just about thee, but know thee in ever-increasing depth and clarity and fellowship, that I may know thee. And then do this through my personal witness. Because if I know the Lord, and I'm praying, "Lord, let thy name be known," I must put those two things together and say, Lord, I know Thee. I desire, as Thou hast commanded me to desire and pray, that Thy name be known abroad. Therefore, bring people to Christ through me. Take this life and let it be an ongoing witness for Christ. Take these lips and let them speak of the glories of God's grace in His own dear Son. Set this heart on fire with a desire for sinners to know Christ. May I never be able to sit back careless and unthinking, simply enjoying life, enjoying grace even, but without a thought of the needs of the world. Lord, hallowed be Thy name. Cause it to be known and to be confessed. Obviously, the prayer also means glorify Thy name. The great Greek preacher of a bygone age, the golden-mouthed Chrysostom, says in one of his homilies, hallowed is glorified. That's the simple truth. We have the Bible for it. In Leviticus chapter 10, verse 3, Moses spoke to Aaron, and he said, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people will I be glorified. When the psalmist prayed, or sighing, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name, the Hebrew really simply says, give Him the glory of His name. Translation is perfectly accurate. It is of it, belonging to it, and due to it. But the idea is that glory inheres in His name. Glory inheres in the very declaration of the greatness of our God. And therefore, when we pray, hallowed be Thy name. Remember, this is the first thing we're praying. This is the first concern we have. This is the first thing that is breaking forth from our heart as we come to the throne of God, as we survey the vast panorama of life with all its perplexities and questions and with all its responsibilities, with all its decisions, with all its possibilities. We are saying, Lord, in everything, glorify Thy name. Again, if I may quote Chrysostom, he said, worthy of Him who calls God Father is this prayer, to ask nothing before the glory of His Father, but to account all things second to the work of praising Him. This is a prayer, he says, that's worthy of a Christian. This is a prayer that is truly expressive of the relationship we have with God when we cry, Our Father. If that is a true relationship, not just a statement of words, then we must put nothing before the glory of our Father's name. Everything else must be secondary. Was this not the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself as He approached Calvary? John 12:28, He said, Father, glorify Thy name. And it should be, I trust it is, but it should be the testimony of every one of us who names the name of the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.